last time it was decided between the ICASA, IOC and SLS, the operators together, saying that the minimum speed of 1 megabits per second. Because at that time, the broadband speed was considered as 1 megabits per second as a broadband speed.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So,
what's the minimum? How much time we've wasted?
2014. And what is the current...
Now we, everywhere where we go, we said based on the broadband policy or SA Connect policy, which is talking about 10 megabits per second, which is the minimum speed. But still, I think there is an argument between ICASA and other coming regulations. We are still pushing that, you know, as I said, because there is a regulation coming for telco, which again they specified 1 megabits per second. I actually put my request to change that to ICASA, saying that it should be in line with SA Connect policy, which is currently for 10 megabits per second.
Yeah, and that 10 megabits per second, if you compare it with people that are up and running, I mean, we should remember, we should not be comparing ourselves with ourselves. We are operating in a global space. We should be comparing ourselves with what is happening in the globe. That's the only way it would make sense to the world. What is the going concern as we speak now?
I think it depends what type of technology you use, because if you're moving to 4G now, for example, you can get anything up to 72 megabits per second or even 128 megabits per second, you know, higher speeds. But when we talk about fixed line, in, for example, telco, their minimum speed is 4 megabits per second for a residential customer on a fixed line. They say up to 4 megabits per second. That's the minimum speed they offer. So, but SA Connect policy, we said up to 2020, we should actually have 95% of all institutions connected with 10 megabits per second.
Right.
So at least it should be in line with that, because that policy and the...
What informs the 10?
I think that was the study at that time, looking at the curve, you know, like with the technology versus the speed. So moving to 5G, and if the spectrum is available, we can get a high speed, but that depends, you know, like where the 5G is and where the fiber is, for example, because Telkom is already providing 200 megabits per second to residential customers, where there is enough speed and enough coverage with fiber. So technology versus, but going to the rural area, there is no fiber footprint, then we can't actually say that we need 100 megabits per second because there is no fiber into that area. So it should be a curve versus, you know, the speed, where the technology is moving and where the speed we can. So I would say 10 megabits per second at least to all institutions. But that's not even there. That's the sad thing. And ICASA is the regulator who is actually in charge of the regulation. You ask the question, you know, who should actually look at, you know, changing the speed. We can actually influence ICASA, but ICASA is the regulator who actually puts the regulation on place.
Okay, what it means then, we will have to get ICASA to review their speed limit. Okay, good. You wanted to come in?
I was saying, Chair, not on the obligations, though, because this is the last batch of the obligations. We're only left with 200 this year. Everybody else has met the targets. So the limit might be changed for the next obligations that we're going to impose with the next licenses and the spectrum allocation.
Okay.
Thank you.
We must be properly educated so that we don't fall into the same trap that we did with this first. We must go with the world. We must be aligned to the globe.
You know, Chair, I'm off the mic. Telecoms and comms should never have been split. We know this. I think everybody knows this. They belong together. Better together. Think how much more we could have done together. I'm offline. That's off. It's off. No, I didn't say that. I'm talking about telecoms and comms. But we do work together.
ICASA should never have gone to comms.
I know.
It was stupid. They do.
Colleagues, I think we can kick off we have an hour and 5 minutes. Not for you. I mean, for the whole engagement. So take your few minutes and allow members to have a reflection. I can just for record say, I eventually got a letter, honorable members, from the chair of USASA on the suspension of the CEO. Did we send it to anyone? Okay. We must just send it to members. I have not received the one from Nemisa. You must remind them. We want that letter. And the letter is, this serves to notify the portfolio committee that the board had on the 1st of March resolved to place the CEO on a precautionary suspension with effect from the 14th March, pending disciplinary proceedings, in order to ensure that the operations and programs for the implementation of the strategic plan and the annual performance plan will not be negatively affected by the suspension. The board has decided to, in line with ICA, appoint one of the executive, Mrs. Ipom Kubisa, as an acting CEO. The portfolio committee is therefore requested to direct any form of communication meant for USASA CEO to the office of the acting CEO and the office of the company secretary until further notice. So that's the letter. In other words, the compliance has occurred in this regard. And we just hope that they will conclude their processes on time so that the services are not continuously disrupted. And yeah, the department must just make sure that we get the name is on because it's a compliance issue. Okay. Baba Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Correct me if I'm wrong. I was listening, or maybe I missed something, but it didn't give a reason for his suspension. As far as I understand the letter, it just said he'd been suspended and so-and-so had been appointed as acting CEO in his place, but didn't give any reasons, didn't give any background, did it?
No, it doesn't. But that's how they want to write it. That's for you and whoever else to deal with the matters. I had made my point earlier in the meeting and so in the debate. But they decided to craft it this way. I'm just saying, at least we have a formal correspondence to the effect that the person has been suspended. Although the latter part says, in order not to disrupt the start plan and the APP, correspondence must be sent, which is also misplaced. I mean, the main thing is not about the compliance with the start planning, it's about the effective running of that entity and for it carrying it out its responsibilities. But all I was saying is at least we have a letter that says this has happened. So the other matters can be probed further. It's neither here nor there. Hood, CEO, are you leaving or who is the boss today?
There is no boss, Chair. There are two directors. So I'll just assume the acting boss. Chair, I'm Linda Nene, I'm one of the board members. I've got my colleague, Jablile, and the acting CEO, Sipom Kubisa, as well as the CFO, Mr. Mahomet Cholwan. Chair, we've already briefed the CEO in relation to how this engagement should happen. So we'll request the CEO to zoom in onto the issues of 2018-19 as well as the specific target.
Acting CEO.
Acting CEO. Acting CEO.
You're on the floor, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to try to be very fast and try to be succinct. You said that I must only zoom in part B. And my presentation will be around part B.
No, I was just saying the aspects that are crucial for us are in part B. But But if there are issues that you think you would like to raise and they are crucial from where you stand, anywhere else you should feel free. So I'm just saying, for me, as I went through your document, the issues that are crucial for implementation, upon which you will be judged, are on Part B. But I didn't craft the document, neither does it belong to me. It's your document. But that was my view. But proceed, sir.
Believe me, Chair, if there are issues that I need to make to the immediate attention of the committee, I will definitely do that, provided there are issues. Chair, I will go to slide number 7 of the presentation. Those are the USASA performance indicators for 2018-19. The first one being the improved percentage of risk. That one, Chair, our estimated performance is sitting at 60, but as the agency, we're saying that for 2018-19, we are targeting 75%. Then the next performance indicator is the one that relates to the implementation of the SEP system, which now we are more looking into the utilization. It's new. This is why if you look there, that for other years, its return is new. Then for this particular financial year, 2018-19, we want 100% utilization of the SEP system on all modules. Then the following one, Chair, now is the quarterly targets in terms of the APP itself, because the manner in which we have crafted our APP is that we have two programs, the first one being the business support, the second one being the business intelligence. Now, the ones that are under business support first is the one that talks about the percentage risk detailed in the risk management plan mitigated, which our target for each and every quarter, we must be sitting at 75. It's same as the SEP system. We have set a target of 100%. We want every quarter when we report our performance that we must demonstrate to the department, to the committee, that the usage of SEP system is sitting at 100%. Then, coming now to the second program, which is the business intelligence program. There, Chair, we have two performance indicators. The first one, it talks about the number of impact assessment to be conducted. Then the second one is the one that it coming from the National ICT Integrated Policy, meaning the development of a plan that will assist the agency to transit from USASA to DDF. And this specific one is linked to the bill that is the department is busy with. Then in terms of the APP, we wanted to conduct impact studies to all the sites that we have rolled out broadband since 2013-2014. Then the second target is the one that talks about facilitated transition from USASA/USAF to DDF. That one, Chair, the intent there is just to come up with a transitional plan so that if tomorrow we are told that there's an act of parliament approved, so that we know what is expected of the agents, because we have the infrastructure now that we have rolled out in the underserved areas, and we want to come up with a plan if by tomorrow they were to say that we are closing our doors. And what will happen to that infrastructure? This is why we have that target. For USASA, I'm done. I don't know either. Can I proceed to USAF? Because we have two. With USAF, we have first our program performance indicators. We have first the indicator that talks about broadband, which is informed by Section 88, Subsection 1, Subsection B, read with Section 90 of the ECA, where we provide a grant subsidy to a small SMME to roll out broadband in underserved areas. Then the second one, Chair, is the one that talks now about the number of the existing sites that we have connected that have internet. The difference between indicator one and indicator two. Indicator one is only the infrastructure. Then once the infrastructure is completed, this is where now we sign a 24-month contract that we need to report. The number of sites that we have targeted ourselves for 2018-2019, it's 680 sites. Then come now to indicator number three that talks about the new sites with internet connectivity. That one, it relates now to the sites, in fact, to the infrastructure that we've rolled out in the financial year of 2017-2018, where we have rolled out broadband infrastructure in Bendle local municipality and then in Yandere local municipality, where we have rolled out 275 sites. Then the last program is the one that pertains to digital migration. That one, Chair, we have set ourselves a target of procuring about 22,282 set-top boxes. The reason that our numbers have dropped, National Treasury, they have taken about, how much, my woman, 240 million rands. Now it resulted upon the numbers of the set of boxes that we must procure being reduced. Then there's another now new strategic objective that we have included, where we wanted now all the projects of USASA, in particular digital migration and the broadband projects, that they must be completed within the time frames the resources allocated. Then going to the quarterly targets themselves, where we are going, Chair, now we are going to Ingusa Hill and Fort St. John's, which they are based at OR Tambo District Municipality. And the second one, Chair, is the one that talks now about the number of the sites that must be maintained. There, Chair, if you look at the first one, you will see that we've retained the 676 sites with 24-month contracts. That 676, it includes 564 schools, it includes 111 schools, and it includes one public office, meaning each and every quarter when we report, we must be able to demonstrate that we have connected a total of 676 sites. And what we have done, we have provided a list of the connected sites. That is going to be easy, that when we report, we will say, these are the sites, these are the usage reports. Then the other indicator is the one that now it's linked to the new sites that are connected, and these ones, they are in Bendle and Nyandeni, and the total number of sites there is 275, meaning we have about 187 educational institutions, 32 clinics, 16 public offices, and 40 Wi-Fi hotspots that we have deployed on both municipalities, meaning each and every quarter we must be able to demonstrate to the department, to the committee, that this is the number of sites we have connected, and we have even provided a list of the connected sites and their GPS coordinates and the contact details. Then, coming to the implementation of the digital migration program, the boxes that we intended to procure this financial year, it's 222,000 boxes. Yes. Reason for this, Chair, is the reduction in terms of the allocation by the National Treasury. And now we will be working very closely with the Department of Communications so that we kickstart a process of procuring those boxes. Then the last indicator is the one that talks about the percentage of USAF project activities completed within the allocated budget and time frames. No, it's 22,282, Chair. I'm not wearing my glasses. Sorry about that. Yes. Then, Chair, at the agency, we have a SAP system, and at the same time, we have a project management methodology that is approved. So that target is linked to that. When we report now, you won't hear stories of us saying that we have missed targets. So on quarterly basis, when we report both on digital migration and on infrastructure projects, we'll be able to demonstrate that these are the number of sites, this is the connectivity reports, and we make a tick box. It's same as the digital, and it's same as the set-top boxes. We'll be able to demonstrate to yourselves to say that this is the distribution list. These are the number of people that have been given boxes. This is the number of the redeemed vouchers. I'm done, Chair.
Is there anything else that you wanted to raise which I have stopped you from raising from
you're on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of your slide on risk management services on page 7, Acting CEO, if I told you there was a 1 in 4 chance of you every time you got on a plane of that plane crashing, would you actually get on that plane on a 1 in 4 chance? No, you wouldn't. If I told you there was a 1 in 4 chance of you when you left your house that you would be hit by a bus, would you open the front door? No, you wouldn't, because those are terrible odds. So when I look at 75% of risks mitigated, there's another 25% of unmitigated risks. Now, that could be contract supervision, for example, because I don't know, there's no detail. That could be contract supervision, or it could be, it could be where the bulk of your expenses sits, for example, that those are unmitigated. So if you could just unpack this for me, what risks are mitigated and what risks are unmitigated? That 25% I'm particularly interested in. Thank you, Chair. Here you are, ma'am.
That's okay, sir. Thank you. On slide, I think it's 19, slide 19, where you talk about 1.1.2, the existing sites of your SA Connect projects. Now, is that in 2014, 2015, you installed 57? Then in the next year was another 63. Okay, so this is each year what you've done, and how many that are connected and presumably live in some way or another. Okay, just wanted to check that. And then so that those all exist, then you then say this got six of the next one, 1.1.3, 609 sites connected in 2017-18. I'm trying to understand, you're saying that's new sites, so therefore in, let's just say, 2018, you should have 680 installed already, plus 609 sites that you're maintaining. So therefore, surely the 680 should be 609. Do you see what I mean? Because if your new sites in 2017 are 609, surely then the additional sites that you're maintaining should be 609, not 680. Do you see what I mean, or do I not understand what you're doing here? Anyway, you can think about that one. And I just want to be clear that the money for this comes to you directly from Treasury, from the USAF. Is that right? Does it come from DTPS? So that the 557 million, you get a share of that. So where does this money come from?
Honourable Member, it comes from the DTPS.
That's what I just asked.
Transfer.
Yeah, but what I want you to know is it part of the 557 million? So then where in the department's account is this reflected?
It will be on the transfers under the program 4 transfers.
Which would be what, the SOCs?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Then I'm concerned about your set-top boxes. As far as I was aware, the manufacturing process was halted before all the 1.5 million were produced and procured. And a portion of those were paid for by Treasury, most of them to CZ Electronics, because they just pressed the button and off they came. The others still thought about it. So what I'm wanting to know is what further ones are you procuring? I mean, surely the ones that were produced are sitting in Sappo warehouses. Are you telling me that the production process that was corrupt is continuing, that you are still producing, buying boxes from a corrupt process? Or is this the existing stock that you're pulling from the Sappo warehouses? I would like some answers on that, please. I think that's all I really want to ask. Thank you.
Suppose from the first presentation to this one, in a number of areas, mine has been taken back by Treasury. What could be the reason for that money that has been reclaimed by Treasury? And on slide 21, not only this one, but there's emphasis on implementation as planned, you know, within the quarter. If you still going to deliver this, we'll definitely do that. And given the existence of risk, what could be the factors that give us so much confidence to say we are definitely going to deliver as planned?
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered by Honorable Shin on slide 19 about these figures. My question is, when are we going to finish this project? Because to me, when I see these numbers, we are so far away from 5 million. I'm not quite sure whether the pace you have, I don't know, or it's me, I'm panicking, or what. Thanks, Chair.
I guess those are questions. Madam Lilia?
No, Chair, I just wanted
to come in.
Yes, Chair. I just wanted to address the CEO will address the other issues. I wanted to give clarity around the management of risk. So what it's meant there when the member actually asks, it's the 75% on the implementation of the risk management plan. So it's the risk management plan, it's a process on how we track how the risk is being mitigated. But when you're talking about the risk appetite and the tolerance in terms of the 1 to 4, we have a percentage of a variance of 10% in terms of when the risk are not mitigated. So this specific target deals with the risk implementation plan.
Make an example?
Okay, for instance, in the risk implementation plan, you deal with the issues around your risk governance. So you do the risk education, your risk awareness, You must do your strategic risk assessment, you do your project risk assessment, and then you do specific performance service delivery risk assessment. So when we're talking about what comfort are we going to get, whether we'll achieve the intended objectives that are sitting on the APP, the risk management processes deals with those risks. So we then monitor the management action plan to say you have a risk of deploying the infrastructure to plan there, and these are the types of risks that you experience. How are you going to mitigate that to ensure that you deliver the targets quarterly? Then we monitor and track. So the tracking of those activities are actually sitting on the risk implementation plan. But the management of risk is sitting in your risk assessment registers and your risk appetite that we've had. So what we've done through our engagement with AG, we realized that the deviation on performance that is material, it's sitting at a percentage of 10%. So we've tried to align our risk appetite so that we don't vary in terms of that as a going forward for 18-19.
Are you fine, Mr. Ken?
Yes, thanks, Chair.
She's the risk chairperson, so she's covered it. The CEO will deal with the other issues as well as the CFO.
Oh, coming to the issue of numbers that was asked, when we were doing our APP, we were advised by the AGSA that because what actually happens is that we will first roll out infrastructure, and once that infrastructure is in place, and then ICASA goes there and check and come back and give us the network completion certification, then we will count the number of those sites, then we will enter now into a subsidy agreement of 24 months. Now, we were asked that we must not, when we're doing our numbers, mix them. We must, those existing sites, we must account separately, then the new sites, we must account separately. Because when we are audited, there's always problems. And at the same time, it allows even from our side, as the organization, to claim overperformance. This is why now it's crafted in that fashion. It was as per the advice of the HSA that let's separate them.
I'm glad they understand the figures because I don't.
Then coming now to the issue of the...
I'm glad the AG understands it because I don't understand it. I can understand the logic, but I mean the numbers just don't seem to add up.
Yes.
So I've got no idea how many sites you've installed.
Okay.
Can you respond to that question, because it is crucial. Look, simplify this thing. Well, it looks simple, but just elaborate on the thing. Just speak to 680 and speak to 609. You said you must be separate. You must separate them. Separate them for us so that we are clear about that separation.
All right.
No.
If you look at that column where there's performance, estimated performance for 2017-18, you will see that there's 680 sites, then underneath there's 609 sites.
Yes.
All right. 680 sites are the sites that were deployed in previous financial years. Then now come to your 609 sites is the sites that were deployed during the financial year of 20... When was Brightwave appointed? Yes.
Okay, let's make it.
Start from 2014 to make your point on 2017.
All right, 2014. In 2014, the number of sites for both those sites are the sites that were deployed, I think, in Ratlovu and Joe Morolong. The total number of sites that were deployed there were 57 in total. Then you go now to financial year 2015-16, the number of sites that were deployed
were 63.
In that year only?
Yes, only, yes. Then you go to 2016, 17, the number of sites that were deployed, there were 680.
Yeah, 680.
Yes. Then now, then you go now to 2017, 18, as the estimated performance. Those are the total number of sites that are existing, that are maintained through the Universal Service Fund. Because what happened when we were deploying broadband for Mhlonhlo local municipality and King Sabata Dalinyelo, the total number of sites that are deployed there, there are 609. But our commitment, it was 295. And now we are in a process of now getting into a new arrangement that the remaining sites must be connected.
So therefore, in 2018, 2019, the number of existing sites is 680 plus 609 that you're maintaining, which is the previous sites of the previous year.
Yes, they are 680.
And what's happened to the 609? You're not maintaining them?
The 609 sites will be maintaining, but they are added in that 680. Because we're reporting them as the estimated performance.
Okay, so you're saying that 680 includes the 609, so therefore you're not really adding very many new sites.
That's all new sites.
It says existing sites, 680 existing sites and 609 new sites.
That's included in that. The one target is installing and the other is maintaining connectivity.
Okay.
We only added 71.
Only 71 sites in a year?
Yes.
Okay.
They got no money.
Yeah.
It's true.
Chair,
they didn't put the number there.
What has happened? We have sent a list. If you can check at the pack, we have sent a list of those 680 sites that we are talking about. And we have a separate list of 275 new sites that are going to be maintained.
Okay, now we're confused again.
We are adding 275
new sites with internet connectivity. Mm-hmm. 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 Your sequence, now you actually changed gear and indicated that the sequence that you were coming up with, you are changing. Look, I asked a question, okay? Kalamo 2014. You put it nicely, 2014, 57, my mission asked, is it for that year? You said yes. You went to the following year, 63 for that year, yes, 68. Then you went to 68. You then changed your narrative. Okay? You then brought two situations which you have not explained, you yourself know it the way you know it. But now, when it comes to auditing, that's where you pick up problems. Just explain the 680, the 609, and the lost number that you referred to. Is it 70-something? Just explain exactly what
you
explain in the manner in which my machine was asking. What is 680? What is 609? Where do the two converge?
Why is it that the 690 is part of the 680?
And then you
say that before.
Leave the 275. Just speak to the 680 that you are maintaining and the new sites with connectivity.
So that,
because
that
you
number,
brought them
that
to them.
Just
marry them. Let me go back to what you were saying.
That includes that.
That maybe is a starting point.
And then you can speak to this document of yours. That is, just go back and repeat it again.
Doesn't make sense.
Chair, the number of the sites that we are going to maintain
for 2018-2019, it's 680 sites. Mm-hmm. Then, because we have now the sites that we started connecting from 1st of April this financial year.
Yeah.
Yes. So, those are 275 sites.
Good.
Yes. Then, going back now to that number of 609 sites, those are the sites that we had connected at Mhlontlo and King Sabata Dalinjewu local municipality.
The last year. Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year.
Last year.
So, right. So you do have, you did connect 2018. I mean, in 2018, I mean, 2017, 2018, was this a plan? The estimated performance?
Yes.
What was the final performance?
There must be, it's got to be final.
That one, sir, I can write back to you because we have sent now our APR for audit. So I cannot be able to confirm it now.
And the 680, which is your 2018?
Yes. It's 2018-19 sites that we must maintain.
That you must maintain. You got them?
Yes, we got them. They are in the list in front of you.
They are standalone. When I say they stand alone, it means they belong to a one-year term.
They don't belong to a one-year term, Chair, because when we connect, we connect for a period of 24 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Chair?
Yeah, Baba Mackenzie.
Chair, just to take us forward in my mind, acting CEO, the figure for 2017-2018, that's been done. That was the last year. The year to come, you're maintaining 680, and perhaps it would have been better to divide these up more clearly, the new sites and the connectivity. So you've got 680 sites for this financial year
that
you are maintaining.
Yes.
And you're going to install 275 new sites.
Yes.
Then that means the following year, 2019-2020, you're going to maintain those two numbers together, 953, plus you're going to put another 300 new sites.
Yes.
Which means the following year you're going to maintain those two numbers together.
Yes.
Plus install another 330 new. So if we were to take it forward to 2022, it would be 1,583 sites you are maintaining with connectivity.
Yes.
Is that correct? Thank you.
But then, sorry, then another problem here. Yeah. Thank you. Because if on 2017-2018, you say that the 680 existing sites includes the 609, okay? So then how come in the following year, the 680 doesn't include the 275?
Yeah, she's right.
Of 2018-19.
To start your explanation again.
The 680 sites were signed in 2016-2017 financial year. Then the 275 sites, they are only signed in this financial year, which is started from the 1st of April. This is why we didn't add them together. I don't know, do I need
Mohammed? Yeah. Okay, it's fine. Actually, the CEO should have helped you to deal with the figures. But when you eliminate your estimated performance, that column, because that's an activity, it's not conclusive. In other words, it can change. In other words, if we do away with that column, estimated performance, in about 609. Eliminate it. Say we are on 2019, the picture that we will have for 2017 as history would be 6-8. Am I confusing you? The picture, next year this time, because I see where the confusion may be coming from. Next year this time, what are we going to have? Leave estimated performance. What will we have as 2019? No, look, we've got 2016, 2017, 68. 2017, 2018,
last year.
Audited. What will we have here? I'm asking the question. We will have 668. Are we going to have 680 or are we going to have 609?
We are going to have 680 sites.
And then 2018?
680 sites.
Plus, what happened to the 275?
New sites.
The 275 sites, Chair, is the new sites.
Oh, come the next year?
Then next year we're going to have 953 sites because you add that 680 plus 275 and it gives you 953. Then we'll have 300 new sites
and then the next
from
year,
Port St. John's and Mozambique.
And the next year? The following year.
The following year, we are gonna add now that 953 to 300. Then it will give us that 1,203 sites.
Why don't you drop the 680? Whose 24 hours years would have expired? I mean, 24 months would have expired. Because that's where you're going to have an audit query. You see, when you move, and that's why I was saying the CFO must help you.
Yeah.
Because you've not done an accumulation.
I think this is where we are all.
Okay. The first 3 years, you've not done an accumulation. But from 2017 going forward, you want to do accumulation. I'm saying once you do that, your figures are going to physically confuse and they will be incorrect. You either stick to a format like the AGF said, the new ones kick in with the remainder of the 20, depending as to when you've done your 24, because the 1.1.2 are your 24 months' arrangements. Né? This 1.1.3 is your current, which moves up to 1.2 every year once you've signed your 24 months. But when the 24 month expires, it drops somewhere where I don't know where you leave it to. But it cannot accumulate when you are not continuing with your 24 months. Now, at every 24 month period, you should lose sites and have new sites that are forming part of your 24. Or am I misunderstanding what your 24 thing is all about?
You are not, Chair.
I think you will need to go and make sure that your figures are indeed in line because you are likely to pick up an audit problem. You will claim certain sites but have less. Just go in and look at it. If you're fine with it like this, we seem to be picking something that doesn't quite gel, doesn't reconcile properly. Madam Risk?
Okay, Chair. We just need to do the clarification on the numbers that we have. The reason we would have estimated is because we managed to get the budget to maintain the sites for 24 months. So the original model that we had was we will do the infrastructure installation and then we do the 24 months. Once it expires, we needed to hand over to the department or municipality to take it over.
Mm.
We've then seen that that was a challenge because there was no capacity to do that because the APP we had was maintained, so we could not have maintained it. So what has happened now, why we were confident with the maintenance of 680, it's because we've got the budget. We had to go and write to National Treasury to say we are requesting the money to just maintain the sites that we have for the existing 24 months. So we have been receiving the money to maintain the 680 for the next 24 months. The analysis is correct to say in instances where the 24-month contract expires and we do not have the additional funding, the numbers may change. But the changing of the numbers in the future of 1920 and 2021, it always go back to the baseline because our performance has that baseline of 2017-2018. So we'll come back again to the committee and say, we now have what we have because we can only commit to the budget that we have. So we'll come back and say, instead of having the 680, let's say next year in when we're doing the 1920 APP, instead of saying we want to start with the 953, we're dropping on our 680 because we do not have money to fund, or we're dropping because somebody else has taken over that contract because they can maintain it. But that will only be confirmed by the budget. So in terms of the 18-19, we've only put in our APP what we know it's funded, because that has always been a challenge on the broadband connectivity, where we put targets but they are not funded. The splitting, when we engage with AG, because when we had the 6-8, it created a lot of confusion when they were verifying, and that is what the CEO was trying to explain, to say, on the new site, it's easy to sign off and get a clean audit on the new site because you go, you hire the suppliers, they install, and then we call ICASA, they validate, they give us a completion certificate. It's a target that is achieved. But we realize also when we're reviewing our performance that it would have been impossible to, within the same financial year, to deploy the infrastructure and maintain it at the same time. That is why the maintenance of the infrastructure, it becomes a phase two of the project, and that is why the sites are then accumulated in terms of how we've read them. So this one, we've dealt with it in detail, and we're quite comfortable that it will not create an audit query because we had spent a lot of time in terms of the validation of the previous targets with the external auditors because there was this specific confusion. But you are correct that we might come for 1920 and drop the sites because we might not have budget to maintain other sites that we have for the next 24 months going forward.
Kira.
Clearer.
Kira. Yeah. Is there anything else that is outstanding?
Set-top boxes. Baba
Makin?
Reduction.
Okay. Yeah, you're still coming on, I think they're still coming on those other questions. Baba Makin?
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps the CFO could assist me. Sorry, let me just find it. In terms of board meeting costs, sorry, Chair.
Because he's just ask the question because he'll deal with it.
Oh, all right. Thank
sorry
you.
To interrupt you.
Sorry, Chair.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah.
I noticed in terms of board costs. Page 11 of the presentation. There's quite a steep rise from 1.6 million to 1.9 million. I noticed from 17 to 18 it was also a similar steep increase, and then it goes back to fairly moderate increases. Could you explain why there are these big jumps in board costs around half a million rand, 400,000 rand to this current financial year, half a million the year before? And then it goes back to sort of 40 or 50,000 rand, which I reckon is quite normal. Can you tell me why it's increased so much? Thank you.
On the floor, sir.
Do you see my question? Do you see it?
Yes,
I can see that increase from 1.1 to 2017-18, the 1.6.
Yeah, and then to 1.9.
I think what drives board costs would be, and I think when we had 2016-17, there was a period when, remember, the board of USASA wasn't capacitated. So the 2016-17 costs, some of it would be understated, because I think there were at least three directors who only joined in December 2016. So actually, to compare 16-17 against 2017-18, then we're not including the costs.
Thank you.
And then to answer the other question, that that was the question I was going to answer, was regarding whether Treasury had given any reasons for the reduction in the BDM. And we received notification from the department that the budget had been, that Treasury had reduced the allocation, but no reasons then were given to us. We were told to reduce the amount we are budgeting for.
Thank you, Chair. Just two fingers on the process. If Treasury comes back with something like that, do you fight it? Do you have an opportunity to resubmit your allocation and to motivate for it?
We basically are told what the transfers are going to be. We submitted based on that 238 plus what's left now, and that was the original, and then we were told that the allocation has been reduced, and then we had to resubmit to the department. So that was the process that was that happened.
So you just accept what's given to you?
How much influence does the minister have in this?
I'll tell you the reason for my question. The BDM and BDM deadlines that are sort of set in stone, as I understand it, and the importance of releasing that spectrum to the telecoms market generally, that the objective of the BDM is, it just seems that for Treasury to make an arbitrary decision, we're not going to roll this out any further, just delays that entire process and holds back the telecommunications sector. So I think between Honorable Sinden and myself, we're trying to find out, does anybody actually champion this? Does anybody stand up at Treasury and fight for these allocations when they say, no, we take a red pen and we've got to lose 40 or 50 billion from this year's budget? Does anybody say, no, go to defense or go to police and take it from there, because telecoms needs this money?
Are you saying we must get the revenue from the heist? Besides tax, the tax heist.
What I was just going to raise is a concern that is it possible for the department?
Honorable Mackenzie, as partly alluded to the fact that I was going to raise regarding the motivation by the department to Treasury, because we really need this thing to be implemented, and if we have these cuts, it's going to affect all the plans. And we're going forth and backward. We plan. You are giving us all these guarantees that we're going to implement as planned. But from the explanation of the Treasury that the chopping cutting without giving reasons, we anticipate that the same might happen again. Can the department do something? Maybe motivate otherwise with the support of the committee, of course, Chairperson.
So it's not necessarily raised with the department to the end. No. I think the concern that members are raising are fair. What I have found working in other committees is in other portfolios, because ministers sit in a cabinet and percentages are just thrown around by Treasury. Treasury doesn't know the things that are crucial. Those people are just called number crunchers. Theirs is a desktop work. We need X billion. Yeah. these guys have not been doing very well. They're not finishing their budgets. So we need X amount of money, hope. Unless you put up a fight and you make an argument, you'll never win. But if you put up a nice, good argument, possibly led by the chair of the board, because the rest are bureaucrats, you see. You need the chairs of the yourselves, the way Mrs. Jabu was speaking there. If she impresses on the minister and says, "Minister, no, we have an obligation. We've got a universal obligation to achieve things X by date X. Cutting this budget is going to throw us off balance. It throws the whole country out of balance. Please, Minister, DM, can we seek audience with the president on this matter? Pitch it high. Can we have audience with the president? But no, you can't meet the president. No, we want to meet the president. Perhaps the cabinet does not understand.
Come here.
So the next thing you're going to end up with is your treasury. And you explain to treasury, listen, treasury, we don't mind if you want to get money. But if there's one money you can't touch, it is this. In actual fact, now that you have an opportunity to talk to you, we need more money because we will not meet our... our global timeline with this amount of money.
Exactly.
If you put up that thing, they are able to listen. But now you actually have lost the momentum, but it's never late. Treasury does have contingency funds. I know they gave some of them to the Western Cape to go and buy water machines, and the rain is already raining now.
Two drops.
But my view would be, take that fight on. If you are able to take the fight on, as the Mansotes is saying, we are able also to take the fight on as committee and say, nope. And then you knock at the same door until you get an opening. So my suggestion, yourselves, you must take the fight on. But the problem is you have too many irons in your fire. Ngapa niya suspendana, ngapa. Once you lose focus in about busy, you are unlikely to make sense to other people. But if you are all focused on one matter, you'll actually do it. And I know of certain entity that was able to get money from the... When things were bad, they still got more money. So, get your house in order. I like your articulation, my namesake. You can convince anybody, including the Reserve Bank chairperson, to even give you money in Ajuna, state air directly to you. So I think you've got quality. Use that quality to advance your mission. You can come back. You can change the figures because these things that are here, really, South Africa will lag behind forever. This program is not waiting for us. If we get overtaken in Mozambique, in Swaziland, in Botswana, Laitos, and we are said to be the global economic hub of the continent, yet we are lagging behind on this important migration. What happens to our future? What happens to the future of the kids? You can get $1 billion tomorrow from Treasury. There's a lot of monies that are lying around here. But nobody knocks enough. You can take others from disaster management. There. A lot of monies that are lying there, several good billions. They never will finish them because they're waiting for something that may not happen. Yeah, but that would be my take, colleagues. Is there anything else that is outstanding?
Set of boxes.
Mamshit? Oh, set off. I mean set of boxes. All right.
With STBs, what we have done through the assistance of the DTPS, that we had a meeting with the Department of Communications,
where we were developing a service delivery model, working with SAPO to say that in the next coming 3 months, we want all the boxes that are sitting at SAPO to be installed, and all the warehouses must be cleared. Now, what has happened now is that the acting DG that we were working with is no longer there, and there's a new person. Now we are told that we must wait until that person, you know, is briefed properly, and but we have a plan of trying for the next coming 3 months that all the boxes that are sitting with SAPO warehouses, they must all be cleared and be installed.
By?
In
3 months.
At households. By those ones that are qualifying. Yes. Then now, coming now to the issue that of the before the new procurement, what the board has done, because there was an audit finding for the procurement of boxes, well, the finding said that the whole process is irregular. Now, the board has petitioned the High Court to set aside that panel of 27 manufacturers that were appointed. And indeed, that process has been concluded. The court gave us a relief, but now we're going back to court again to say that now that the whole process has been set aside, we need now the current service providers that provided us with boxes and the ones that are still delivering to be allowed to conclude their contracts. Because if we are not doing that, it simply means that all those service providers, they must return, they must come and take all their boxes and all that. And it means as the organization now, we have to pay those service providers. This is why now we are again doing that affidavit just to ask the court to say, these specific manufacturers, can we ask the court at least to give us that leeway that we can finalize the and then as well, we had engagements with the Competition Commission where it gave us a blessing to say that we can start with the new procurement process. But we were given specific instructions that those ones that are implicated, we must not work with anymore. So we have learned our lessons, and we know now when we are procuring what are the things that we must first put in place even before we talk about procuring of boxes. We know now that there are certain organs of state that we should have consulted and worked closely with so that we are not finding ourselves in this problem that we had.
I'm
puzzled as to why you need permission from the Competition Commission for this. I mean, why, you know, they're not part of the process. They're not part of the department, they're not part of BDM. That you don't report to the Competition Commission, why do you need to get them to approve a new process? I just don't understand why that approval comes from them. And I assume that the new procurement process is to produce the other, 3,500 boxes. Is that right? So therefore, has the encryption issue been resolved? There's so many questions around BDM, but we'll deal with that when we have that joint meeting, I think, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, sometimes other companies would be sort of blacklisted, like the ones you've just mentioned, but only to come back using another name. How are you going to guard against that?
No, sorry, Chief, can I just also then ask? Has a tender been put out on this, or is it going? You're going to use the same tenders? So no new people have been appointed yet. There's been no new process. Okay.
You have 3 minutes to answer.
one of the steps that we will take is make sure that there's no cross directorships between the companies.
Chair, I think
Chair, I was going to say that I think that question that was just raised, the board needs to apply its mind carefully before we can actually commit in terms of how we're going to make sure that these suppliers don't resurface as different animals in the new procurement process.
Just buy the TVs, digital TVs.
Have we exhausted all questions?
I want to know why the Competition Commission permission. I didn't understand that link.
The reason why we approached the Competition Commission, we went to them initially because there was also a finding that said that it seems as there's this cross-directorship in these entities. Like, for instance, you will find that there's entities that they will, like, for instance, submit about 3 bids and sharing the same directors. Now, because we approached them and we wanted now to find out from them that if we were to do a new procurement process and they advised us, all those that are implicated, we must not in any way involve them in the new procurement process. And from their side, they said once the report is concluded, they are going to make the point that National Treasury, those people, they are blacklisted. And as well, they committed to say that a DTI at any time can assist in terms of tracking when we have our bids, because in terms of the local content, we have to submit at DTI. They will make the point that all those directors, they are not linked to those blacklisted entities.
Okay. And when will the new procurement process start? When do you expect it to start?
Get some money.
Are we waiting for the court cases to be resolved? Or?
That one, we will get a direction from the Department of Communications.
I guess we should bring our engagement to the end on the with USASA. Is there anything else that members would like to raise on the bill so far? The adverts are coming out, sir. Are you having any update? Yes.
On the comparable.
Just raise your voice. Come to the mic.
There you are. Do you want to sit? Have you got long?
No. Okay, Chair. Like we spoke last week, I developed a quick plan which I shared with you and hope that you will circulate to the rest of the members. But just to get the ball rolling immediately, I drafted the statement which you approved. It's out and I'm already getting calls for interviews. I worked on the letter to editors or stroke opinion piece, which elucidate more about the bill. You will have to approve it and so that it can go out. In terms of the advertisements, we won't be going on the 18 radio stations of SABC. It will be only selected 8 due to budgetary constraints and thereafter the newspapers.
And when are the newspapers starting?
The newspapers still a supply chain process. Ajira has indicated that supply chain received the QRFs and they will be sourcing codes for us, because that apparently that is a purview of the supply chain. Only them can source quotations. With the SABC, it's a different story because there's a standing contract between Parliament and SABC.
Ajira, when is everything likely to happen, and when are our deadlines and everything?
Chair, we've sent the advertisement on Friday. I got a return call this morning to say it needs to go to another process, but they'll give me a 7-day turnaround. I've got a confirmation that they received it now, and then we'll just wait. As soon as we hear, there is a list of newspapers. I will forward it to all members that we finalized
Good. I guess that's where we are. Like, and we hope that next week we've got some plenary again at 10 o'clock. It's not a very... We will have to try and apply again. Some plenary, some debate on a youth day. Or is it youth day or something?
It doesn't affect anybody
it
here.
It's a full plenary.
Yeah, we're pastors. We don't need to be involved. We're too old for it.
They say it's a full plenary. It may affect our sitting. But if we could possibly even have an hour, if there are matters that we can deal with, we'll do exactly that. Good. But next week is full plenary, so we will look at our program. We'll see how far we can push our luck. And the meeting stands adjourned. Yeah.
Just in the channel, you is providing information. How many set-up boxes in post office? And how many households have been connected? Must provide color information.
That's a written question. Okay. Good. Yep, for your... Sorry.
You can pick for you. Okay, one please.
Yes. But thank you also for attendance. I know that Baba Mackenzie did on our behalf. Thank you, the minister and the DM, for their unfailing attendance. Something that other people don't do. So we don't take it lightly. And we are glad that it came from Mr. Mackenzie and not me.
Thank you.